Psalm 73, you may remember, this is where we started the year. Psalm 73, it's amazing, I can't hardly believe it's been a year. But anyway, it's almost over. They say that as you get older, the time goes by quicker, and I'm believing it more and more. Psalm 73, though, let's read some scripture here tonight. Stand with me together, if you would, please. Verse 12, let's start there. Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I've cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Amen. Then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places, thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream, they're unstable. The ungodly people of this world, they may have some money, but they're very unstable. As a dream in verse 20, when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I. And ignorant, I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by thy right hand. There's another verse that proves eternal security. This man was so depressed. This man was so, Asaph was so discouraged. When he looked around, he saw the world and prosperity. But boy, he says, nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. God never leaves you, amen, when you get despondent like that, discouraged. In verse 24, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? There is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth. Remember this verse? But God is the strength of my heart and my portion. How long? Amen. Forever. For lo, they that are far from thee, notice, shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a whoring from thee. But it's good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all thy works. Let's pray. Father, Lord, as we revisit this passage, it's still, again, Lord God, very powerful, very sobering. And I pray tonight it would be helpful, it would be encouraging to your people just to kind of reflect back on the year that we've had, Lord God. And I pray, Lord, that you would encourage us, Father, not to leave this theme behind, but to carry this theme on into the new year and add it to the new theme that you've given me, Lord, for this church. God, tonight I pray you'd bless, help us on purpose as we listen to your Spirit. Fill my heart, I pray, with words, with verses, illustrations, concepts, Lord, ideas. But Lord, more than anything else, God, fill me with your power and your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 You may be seated. What a blessing it is. Think about the theme this year has been drawing near to God, and I pray that some of you have. And I know that it's a battle as we try to draw near. There's always those things that are trying to push us away. As we try to draw near, there's always those things and those battles that go on that try to push us away and cause us to drift away. Instead of drawing near, we drift away. And I don't know where you're at in your spiritual life. Obviously, I don't know where you're at in your personal life. But 12 months have passed since we started this year, and we started this year with this theme, drawing near to God. We had scriptures, I preached for four or five months anyway on Sunday mornings on drawing near to God through scripture. Amen. Drawing near to God through the staying faithful to the house of God, drawing near to God through soul winning and all of those things, and prayer and spending time with the Lord, drawing near to God. And I'm going to tell you, I'm just going to be honest with you tonight. It's been a battle. It's been a battle for me in my personal life, and I knew it would be. It always will be, because as we attempt to draw near and closer to God, there are those things that will rise up against us, those things that will close in around us and make it difficult. As the devil sees you trying to draw near to God, understand something, he's going to do all he can in his power to make you drift away, to cause it to be difficult for you. If he can just make it difficult for you to the point where where you won't do it anymore, then he wins the battle.
Yeah.
But I want you to see here again, I just want to revisit this for a little while tonight. We do have indeed a service tomorrow, and I'll like I said, reveal, you know, it's not that big a deal. It's from the Bible, but I will let you know what God laid on my heart for the new year. But I don't want to forget this, amen. I don't want to put this on the back burner. I don't want to let this slip away from our hearts and our minds as a church family, drawing near to God. In verse 28, it is good for me to draw near to God. It's never going to be a bad idea. It's never going to hurt me. It's never going to do anything but help me to draw closer to my God. It's always going to be good, whether it be 2018 or 20 whatever, amen. It's always going to be good for me to draw near to God. It's always going to be good for me. It's a very personal thing that we're talking about. It's going to be good for me. Now, if it's good for you, then it's going to be good for our church. If it's good for you, it's going to be good for your family. If it's good for you, it's going to be good for everything about your life. Because God works in our hearts, and then from there he changes everything around us as far as our outlook, our perspective, our understanding. It's good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God. Amen. The closer I get to him, the more I trust him, and the more I'm willing to obey him.
Amen.
The closer I get to him, the closer I get to the Lord, the more I trust him. The more I realize he's right. The more I understand his way is perfect. Yeah. The closer I get to him, yeah, the more I see his heart, and I understand the way he works, and I understand how he thinks. And getting closer to God is the key. It's good for me so that I can put my trust in the Lord God. The closer I get, the more I'm going to trust him.
Yeah.
Amen. The closer I draw to God in my relationship with him, the more I'm going to trust him. The more I'm going to know how he works, how he thinks, how he's going to reveal more to me the closer I get to him. The Bible tells us that it's good for me to draw near to God. I put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all thy works. Has your fear of man reduced? It should, it will, as you draw closer to God, the more you're going to be willing to declare to other people all his works.
Amen.
You understand, there's so much in this little verse here. It's good for me. It's helpful for me. It's beneficial for me to draw near to God. I'm going to trust him more. I'm going to be able to declare more of his works to more people. It's not that I can't now. I'm just afraid to. Because the fear of man bringeth a snare. And when I draw closer to God, I trust him and I realize he's right, and I lose my fear of declaring all his works to other people. I lose my fear. I'm no longer intimidated by this world's mentality, this world's answers and their opinions. I understand I'm going to declare the works of my God because I've drawn near to him. Look over in Psalm 40 with me now. Psalm 40 here tonight. Psalm 40, verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. You understand what's going on there? In verse 1, the psalmist David is waiting patiently. He's drawing near to the Lord. He's inclining his heart. He's crying out to God, and God is answering his prayer. God is drawing him near. The Bible tells us if we draw near to God, he draws near to us. As we draw nigh to God, he draws nigh to us. And look, he says in verse 3, he put a new song in my mouth, praise unto our God, many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. And blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust.
Amen.
See, when I draw near to God, the Lord becomes my trust. The Lord becomes my anchor, my rock, my stability. And the Bible says, and respecteth not the proud in verse 4, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done. Think about that. Think about this year.
Amen.
I mean, I know we see this building here, but there's a lot more than that. The building could be here or not. We could still be sitting in the other building. God has done wonderful works, though, in this church and in our lives. But think about what he's done in your heart. How God's changed your heart. I hope that's the case anyway. Yeah. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, thy thoughts which are to usward. Look in verse 5 now. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. You can't even possibly know how much God, that verse says, is thinking about you.
Amen.
When's the last time you stopped and thought that God's thinking about me. I don't even think I can even touch that with a 10-foot pole without being irreverent, because I don't understand that. I don't know why God would think about me. Yes, I understand what the Bible says, but you know as well as I do that we don't deserve that.
That's right.
We're not worthy of that. And there's so many better things and that he could be thinking about, but his thoughts to us are, listen, his works to us, his thoughts towards us, they cannot be reckoned up in order. There's no way I can count them. How much God has thought about me this year. How much God has thought about me more than can be numbered. Verses 6, sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering thou hast not required. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. As I draw near to God, I begin to delight in different things. I delight to do God's will. God's will is not always my will, you understand, but God worketh in us, amen, to both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's God works in me as I draw closer to him. He's thinking about me. He's working in me. He's doing a work in me so that I will learn to delight to do his will. And his law is within my heart. In verse 9, I have preached righteousness. There it is. I'm declaring his works now. I've learned to trust him. I've drawn closer to him. I've learned to trust him. I'm preaching his righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not, verse 9, refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. Well, you know, I wonder how many times we've refrained our lips this year. When we had an opportunity to preach the righteousness of God, when we had an opportunity to tell someone about Jesus, we had an opportunity to declare his wonderful works, and we refrained our lips. Well, listen, it's only because we did not draw close enough. We were not close enough to God. In verse 10, I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the gate from the great congregation. There's so much truth there. As I draw nigh to God, he draws nigh to me. And then I begin to see how much he's doing in my life. I begin to see how much he's thinking about me. I begin to see he's not looking for sacrifice and offering. He would rather us just obey.
Amen.
To obey is better than sacrifice, amen. That's what the Bible says. He just wants us to do his will. He wants us to preach righteousness. He wants us to tell people, not refrain our lips. Notice in verse 10, not hide his righteousness within our hearts.
Amen.
God didn't give you that righteousness. That's imputed righteousness through the blood of Jesus Christ. We talked about that last Sunday night, the reconciling power of God sending Jesus Christ. Reconciled us, but when he reconciled us, listen, he didn't just wash away our sin. He made us the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. He imputed that righteousness just like our sins were imputed to Jesus Christ and they were forever cast into the depths of the sea. God's righteousness through faith was imputed unto us. And listen, he didn't do that for us to hide it in our hearts.
Right.
He didn't do that for us to just bury it somewhere and hide our talent under the rock somewhere and wait for Jesus to come back. Listen, when we draw closer to God, one of the greatest evidences of that is going to be, I'm not going to refrain my lips. I'm not going to hide his righteousness. I'm going to declare thy faithfulness. I'm going to declare thy salvation. I'm not going to conceal his loving kindness. I'm not going to conceal his truth from the great congregation.
Oh.
Have you grown in your desire to witness this year? Have you grown in your desire to tell more people about Jesus? If you have, it's because you've drawn closer to God.
Amen. That's right.
If you haven't, it's because you haven't drawn close enough to God. But understand, I want you to understand something. There's always room to improve here. There's always room to grow. There's always a need for us to draw closer to him.
That's right.
Draw closer, incline our hearts unto him, incline our ears to his righteousness, his truth, his instruction, boy, and the result will be a preacher of righteousness, a witness for the Lord God Almighty, drawing close. Now, our flesh, however, excuse me, our flesh, however, does not at all desire to draw closer to God.
Right.
The reason these verses are in the scripture is because it goes against our nature. The reason these verses are in here is because God's trying to help us see and understand how important it is to realize how wonderful his works are, how many thoughts he's thought about us. I can't even wrap my mind around that. Sometimes, let's just be honest, sometimes I don't want God to be thinking about me because I'm not going to be a good thought.
Yeah, come on.
But you know, he doesn't work that way. He doesn't work that way.
No, he doesn't.
He loves me.
Amen.
In spite of me. He loves me in spite of what I'm doing. I don't like what I'm doing, and that's good. I don't like myself at many times, and that's fine. I don't want to like my sin. I don't want to like the times that I fail God. But he still thinks about me. He still loves me. He's still working in me. I'm still his. Like the psalmist said in Psalm 73, amen, I'm still his, and he's still mine.
Amen.
He's not going to leave me. He's not going to let go of my hand. He's still leading me through this old wilderness of this old sinful wilderness of this old world. I tell you what, I'm going to be brutally honest with you tonight. Not everybody drew closer to the Lord this year.
Yeah, that's right.
And if you just did nothing, then you did not draw closer to God.
Right.
If we just did nothing to draw near to God on purpose, then we did not draw near to God. The natural tendency, the way things work in our lives, is many times we just drift along life seas.
Yep, that's right.
We just kind of drift along life seas, and we let the current, whatever. If things are good, yeah, we're happy. If things are wonderful, yeah, we're joyful. But if things go bad, then we get down and discouraged. It's in all of us. And that's why the Bible says we've got to draw near to God.
Amen.
We've got to draw ourselves closer to God. And it can happen to the best of us that we just kind of let things slip over time. That's why I'm preaching this tonight. Honestly, the Lord laid this on my heart to help us understand that we cannot let this thought slip over time. We've got to continue to purposely draw near to God day after day after day. Day after day after day. I want to turn, if you would, look with me in Psalm 143. Psalm 143. Excuse me. Verse 3. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness, as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. If you tried to draw near to God this year, this happened to you.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to be honest with you. I believe if you tried to draw near to God, this happened to you. Somewhere along the way, their enemy stood up against you, and your spirit was overwhelmed within you. Your heart within you became desolate. But here's what you have to do. Verse 5, remember the days of old.
Amen.
I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. I'm going to draw near to God anyway. I'm going to keep stretching forth my hands. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land, Selah. Hear me speedily, O Lord. This is a prayer. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Notice verse 8. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. Can I say to you, that's every morning.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
Every morning. This is a verse. This is a verse that's been near and dear to me for a long time. I want you to cause me. This is a man who is struggling. This is a man who's down. This is a man who's fighting the spiritual battles. He says in verse 4, his spirit is overwhelmed within him. He's spiritually despondent. He's having a hard time, and he says, "Lord, if I could just hear your loving kindness in the morning." Cause me to hear. It's a prayer that we need to pray, and we need to keep praying as we enter into a new year. We're not going to have a new God. We're going to have the same God. We're going to have the same enemies. We're going to have the same persecution. We're going to have the same spiritual battles. We're going to have the same warfare. Listen, verse 8, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. That's where God wants us to be every day, every day, every day, morning after morning after morning after morning. cause me to hear thy loving kindness. In thee do I trust. Cause me, in verse 8, to know the way wherein I should walk. For I lift up my soul unto thee. That's a blessed verse. I want you to understand, God desires us to hear his loving kindness. We have a desire to hear his loving kindness because it's him. In thee do I trust, verse 8. Lord, if you'll just allow me to hear your voice this morning, I'll make it through this day. If you'll just allow me to hear your loving kindness, cause me, verse 8 again, cause me to hear. I don't need to see anything, God. I just need to hear your loving voice.
Amen.
I just need to hear your loving voice in the morning. Lord, I'm trusting you.
Amen.
Lord, I'm not gonna go away from you. I'm trusting you, Lord. I don't need you to do anything for me, Lord. I just need to hear your loving voice this morning. And then tomorrow morning, guess what, Lord? Here I am again. I need to hear your loving kindness. And then the next day, guess what, Lord? I'm here again. I'm trusting you, God. I'm not leaving this race. I'm not leaving this battle. I just need to hear your loving voice. Oh, God, cause me to hear thy loving kindness. I'm trusting you, Lord. And when God speaks to us in the morning, God tells us what we need to hear. He just speaks to us. He causes us to know the way wherein I should walk.
Amen.
That way is his way. But see, when I hear his loving voice, I hear his loving kindness every morning after morning after morning, then I know this is where I need to be. I can trust him. He's still here with me. I'm following his voice. I'm following his leadership. I'm following his loving kindness, boy, and lifting up my soul unto the Lord. If you don't do that every day, you're not drawing closer. If you don't do that every day, you're going to be overwhelmed and overtaken. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, be not overcome with evil. That's written to Christians. Look at it with me in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Verse 21. This is written, the chapter starts off, I beseech thee therefore, brethren, amen, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. But then the end of the chapter, he says, be not, verse 21, Romans 12, be not overcome of evil. Now that's written to Christians. You see that? That's written to those of us who can present our bodies to God and live a willful, wanting a closer relationship and fellowship. But listen, we can, though, however, be overcome of evil. If we don't spend that loving, that time in the morning, listening for his loving kindness, listening for his loving voice, we will become overcome of evil. Because evil is all that there is other than God in this world.
Yeah.
That's all there is in this world.
Right.
You understand that, right? There's nothing good in me. There's nothing good in this world but God.
Amen.
That's it. That's it. And I can't accept substitutes. There's no substitute for his goodness. It says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. With good. You understand, the only good thing in me, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. That's what the Bible says in Romans chapter 7, verse 18. There's nothing good in me except after Christ is now in me. His salvation, his loving kindness, his grace, his mercy. Now I can have that, and that is what's going to help me overcome the world of evil, his Christ in me. I can overcome the evil with good. But you understand something? I've got to be careful not to let the evil overcome me. The only way that's going to happen is that I be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And the only way that's going to happen is I draw near to him every morning.
Amen. Yep.
And I listen to his loving voice. I wait for, and I cry out to him, Lord, let me hear thy loving kindness in the morning. Cause me to know, Lord, I trust you. I'm walking with you. I do not want to be overcome with evil.
Amen.
I want to overcome evil with good, the good that is Christ Jesus in me. But I'll tell you, days go by. Weeks go by. And now 12 months have gone by since the beginning of January, then we started this thing. Now I want you to look with me in Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, in a very interesting turn of events. Luke chapter 2. Well, you almost knew I had to get back to Luke chapter 2, didn't you? If you're paying attention. Anyway, Luke chapter 2, verse 41 this time. We're going to go back to the end. Luke chapter 2, verse 41. Now, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. So listen now, before we go any further, don't read ahead of me, just stay with me. We're going to talk about this little by little. This became a yearly event for them as a Jewish tradition. It was Passover. It was a week-long feast and celebration, and Jews came from everywhere around Jerusalem, and they came to the city for that week of feast, that Passover fellowship feast, honoring God. And they did it every year, and they were supposed to do it every year. Okay? It was something they did every year. Verse 42 of Luke chapter 2, when he, Jesus, was 12 years old. So, remember now, Jesus is 12. They've been doing this for 12 years since Jesus was born, right? I believe they did it way before that, but that now that Jesus is in their life, Jesus is a part of their family. He's literally living in their home. He's literally eating at their table. I mean, they see him. They hear him. They're living with the very Son of God, God in the flesh, but they're going through this yearly ritual. And it's 12 years now. And they went up to Jerusalem after the custom, verse 42. Can I tell you, we've got to guard against this drawing near to God just becoming a custom.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Just becoming something we do.
Yep.
What I'm going to show you in this, and you know the story, most of you, probably not all of you, but you know the story, but this was just a custom to them.
Right.
This became a habit to them. And listen, understand something. If we're not careful, drawing near to God, and that's why I preached on it so much. That's why I wanted to focus on it one more time before we go to the new year. If you're not careful, it just became a tradition for you, a custom for you. And verse 43, when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the days of 7 days, about a week or so, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. Now, he's 12. He's able to do that. Joseph and his mother knew not of it. Now, let's just stop there for a second. 12 years ago, that would have never happened. Now, I know he was a baby and they needed to do everything for him. But I would say even 11 years ago, that wouldn't happen. Because see, it was all still new and exciting to them. Jesus is in our house. Jesus, the baby Jesus. Remember the immaculate, not the immaculate conception, the virgin conception? She wasn't immaculate, y'all. Amen. She was a virgin, but she wasn't sinless. The conception, the birth of Jesus, the miraculous conception, the miraculous way that Jesus came into the world, came into their lives. Remember in Sunday school we were talking about this morning, after 8 days they took Jesus to the temple and they presented him to God, and Simeon and Anna were there and all of that. And boy, they left that day unbelievably changed and revived in their heart. I promise you, they were not thinking, well, where's Jesus? No. They knew exactly where Jesus was. He was the center of their life.
Right. Yeah.
But he's not anymore. Now, I know it's 12 years, and I'm just going to use this. It's 12 months since January. It's 12 months. Jesus was so real to them 12 years ago. He was so exciting to them. But now they had other children.
Yeah.
Now they had other responsibilities. And now they were just doing what they always did. They were going to Jerusalem, as the custom had it, and it was time to go to the Passover and everybody's doing what they always do. And there's not a mourning time. Calls me to hear thy loving kindness. It's just maybe a routine now. I just read my Bible in the morning. Or maybe I don't even do it anymore.
Yeah.
I just get along with God if I can. And if I do, I'm just reading my Bible. I've got to have my devotions. Well, I understand what that means, but we got to be real careful not to just let that become having our devotions.
Yeah,
We got to be real careful that it doesn't just become a customary tradition that we just always do. Because before you know it, Jesus is not going to be there.
Yeah, come on.
They, verse 44, they supposing him to have been in the company. They just supposed that Jesus was with the rest of their traveling caravan. Now, I guarantee you, a few years ago, they were not just supposing. Right. Jesus was the center of their life.
Yeah, that's right.
Where are you at tonight?
Yeah, man.
Yeah. We said, preacher, I know the theme this year. I know, but I haven't preached on it in a while. Were you closer back in January, February, March? Because it was a new theme, it was a fresh theme, we were preaching on it all the time, we were pointing you to it, and we had banners on in the church. You know, the banners are gone. The preaching's not so much about drawing near to God always. It's not a fresh, new theme and thought in our hearts. Is Jesus missing?
Come on.
Is it just something I just have my devotions? I just go read my Bible every morning? I'm telling you, this is Joseph and Mary.
Right.
If it can happen to them, listen, we better understand, it can definitely happen to us.
Yeah.
They were close to Jesus. Hey, listen, they were real close to Jesus. They lived with him.
Yeah.
They heard his voice all the time. But now it's gotten so routine that he's not even there. And they just suppose, well, he's probably somewhere close. Surely he's over here with cousins or aunts and uncles. Or, you know, he's probably here somewhere laughing with the rest of the kids. They just suppose that he was there. Are you kidding me? It's only been 12 years. I said, preacher, that's a long time. I know, but he lived with them. Here's what happened. Other things took his place. They had other kids now. They had other thoughts. They had other people. They had other things going on in their life. So that virgin birth, that was 12 years ago. And I listen, if it can get old to somebody who literally gave birth to a virgin-born child, if it can get that old to Mary, what do you think is going to happen to us?
Yeah.
It's only been 12 months, preacher. It hasn't been 12 years. I know, but I also know our flesh. I know our nature. I know our tendencies.
Yep.
It just becomes customary. And man, it's convicting.
Yes, sir.
It just becomes customary. I just do this every morning. Oh, really? But when's the last time you cried out to God? Oh, God, cause me to hear thy loving kindness this morning. I would dare say, for somebody in here, it's probably been a while, maybe two or three of us, Lord, I need to hear your voice. I just need to hear your voice, Lord. I'm trusting you, God. Just let me hear your loving kindness to today. Or is it just, okay, I'm reading my Bible. Okay, time to go. See, there's a big difference there. And it was so customary to Joseph. This still floors me when I really think about this. It really happened. It was such a custom tradition after 12 years. He's only 12.
Right.
Karina, what are you, 10, sweetheart? Right? In 2 years, you better be careful. Mom and Dad might forget about you somewhere.
Yeah.
Now, we laugh at that, but seriously, that would never happen. Would that happen? Of course not. How did it happen to them then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How in the world did that happen?
Yeah.
How did that happen? I mean, Lucas what is he, three? Is he three yet? Yeah, just in about 9 years. Be careful, you might forget about him. That's never going to happen, is it? How did this happen?
Yeah.
I mean, it dumbfounds me. I'm astounded. How did this happen? I mean, Samuel's 15. Are you kidding me? 3 years ago, we wouldn't have forgotten about that boy. Especially mom. Not accidentally, anyway. But seriously, I mean, they just supposed he was in the company. Look in verse 44. They went a day's journey.
Yeah.
They went a full day's journey. Not a thought. Whew. Whoa, this is Joseph. This is Mary. These are the ones who the angel of the Lord appeared unto them personally and said, you're going to have a baby, and told Joseph, don't put her away. That's Jesus in her womb. This is Joseph, and they're traveling a full day. Not even considering, just assuming Jesus is there. That is unbelievable. That's unbelievable. But it literally happened. And I thank God, obviously, tonight anyway, I think God is trying to use it in our hearts to help us understand that if we're not careful, just a few months after we were so excited about drawing near to God, just a few months after we were so excited about, oh yes, this year is going to be great, I'm going to be closer to God than I've ever been before. And dearly beloved, that's what we need.
Amen.
That's what we need. But our natural tendency is to just let it become custom. 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 Now listen, if it at least it was still custom. I'll say this before I go any further. Even if it just became custom, at least it's still custom. I mean, let me say it this way. That's a good habit to get into. Okay? That I would highly suggest, recommend, implore, beseech, and beg you, get into that habit of walking with God in the morning.
Amen.
But be careful, guard against it becoming tradition. But even if it does, don't quit doing it. Okay? That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying, well, it's just custom tradition, I'm not going to do it anymore. That's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is, don't quit doing it, but don't let it become routine.
Amen.
If it can happen to them, it took 12 years, I know that. But I still can't believe it could happen to them. We don't live with Jesus in our home, see Him, hear Him. We haven't spent that many years with Him, literally, physically in His. So how quickly can it happen to us?
Right.
It can happen quick. Can I say it can happen from one day to the next?
Right.
Where we're no longer crying out, Lord, cause me to hear thy loving kindness today. Oh, that's so convicting. It's so convicting because we don't do that. We just get into a routine. They found him. They went a full day's journey in verse 44, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. Have you seen Jesus? That's a good start. Do you know where Jesus is? I mean, think about this conversation. They're literally saying, do you know where Jesus is? And think about the people. What? What do you mean, where's Jesus? I'm not trying to be dramatic, but I mean, come on, these are people. Where's Jesus? Are you talking about that kid that you had as a virgin, that kid that was the savior of the world, and you don't even know where he's at?
Yeah.
Boy, how must they have felt
right.
about that big?
Yeah.
Embarrassed, disgraced, shamed. I mean, come on, think about it. They're having to go ask their cousins and uncles and friends. Man, I know this is a dumb question, but have you seen Jesus? You see, when we let everything become custom and tradition and ordinary routine, sooner or later, we're going to end up with egg on our face.
Yeah.
We're going to be embarrassed.
Right.
People are going to look at us like, you're a Christian?
Amen.
Yeah. You're a Christian? You telling me about Jesus? Are you listening to me?
Amen.
When we let things become custom, just tradition, just something we do, we're going to end up embarrassing. They made fools of themselves. Think about how foolish they must have felt Joseph turns to Mary and said, go get Jesus. We're going to sit down and have a chat. And Mary says, well, I haven't seen him. What do you mean you haven't seen him? I haven't seen him. Well, go ask your cousin. Go ask your, oh, you, okay, you go ask Aunt so-and-so. I'll go ask cousin so-and-so. And they're both now panicking. But they're embarrassed. They have to be embarrassed. Amen. Where's Jesus? I don't know. Aren't you kind of responsible for him? Isn't he your son? Yeah. But I was just wondering maybe if you've seen him. And so now they're not only are they disgraced in front of everybody they know. It will happen, y'all. You will make a big fool of yourself if you don't keep close to Jesus.
That's right.
Sooner or later, people are going to say, you know what? I thought you were a Christian. And you're going to feel about that low.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And you're going to know why it got to that point, because you didn't keep it fresh. You didn't draw close to Jesus. You allowed evil to overcome you.
Yeah.
And they found him not in verse 45. Now they didn't. Now they're thoroughly embarrassed. Now they've got to turn back in verse and go seek him. Now, I will say this. This is what we must do.
Right.
Go back in your life, in your mind, in your heart, and find where you lost him.
Amen, brother.
Do you remember the story of Elisha and the prophets? And they went down to, the house was too small and they didn't have enough room, so they're going to go build a new house. And they took the axe and they went down and by the river and they started chopping wood to build a house. And the Bible says one of the axe had fell off in the water. And the young preachers turned to Elisha, the man of God, said, alas, master, the accent is gone. He said, and it was borrowed. He said, I don't. And the first thing the man of God said was, where fell it? Where did you lose it?
Amen.
Where did you lose Jesus? What was happening in your life? Where were you? What happened? You say, it was a process. It was a 7-day process. It only took 7 days for them to completely just lose track of him. It doesn't take long, does it? It took 7 days and they lost Jesus. But now listen to me. Whatever the cost, I mean, it cost them shame. It cost them time now. It cost them extra money. They did not just go on with their life. Dearly beloved, let me beg you, we cannot just go on with our life when we realize Jesus is far away.
Yeah. Amen.
It's going to cost you, can I say this, to go back and seek him. It's going to cost you some time.
Yep.
Some time with your face.
Amen.
In his precious book.
Yep.
It's going to cost you some time, amen, on your knees.
Yeah.
It's going to cost you some time humbling yourself. And listen, and honestly admitting to God, Lord, I've lost touch with Jesus. I've been there. And if you're honest with yourself, I've been there. There are times where it's so sweet. And everything is just, oh boy, and the fire is burning. And my heart is just full. And I'll hear a good gospel song and I'll just weep like a baby. I'll just thank God. I'll rejoice. Amen. And I'll be so excited. And then there's other days where I can hear that same song. I can be in the same exact situation. Everything's the same except my heart.
Yeah, come on.
And boy, when that happens, you know what I know? I know I need to do some work. I need to go find Jesus.
Amen.
I need to seek Jesus.
Yeah.
Where are you at tonight? How close are you? How close are you? Have you been disgraced and embarrassed lately in front of your family because you've been so distant from Jesus? Has your family looked at you lately and said, man, what's wrong with you? Has your parents looked at you? Have your children? How about your church family? You know, I don't say anything. I just preach what God gives me. But you know, I look. You know, God has given me the oversight of the flock, and I'm not God. I'm not the Lord of the flock. I'm just the overseer. But I see things in the process. And I can tell when people's spirits aren't exactly what they used to be. And all I do is go pray, because this is the problem. And I know without a doubt, you can see it in me too. I hate to admit that, but it's reality in all of our lives.
Yeah, sure.
And I thank you for not coming and trying to correct me. I thank you for going home and praying for me. That's exactly what I need. And pray that God would help me to go seek Jesus, seek His face more fervently, to draw closer to Him.
Amen.
They could not just stay where they were. That you cannot just continue. Every step they took towards Nazareth, away from Jerusalem, was a step in the wrong direction. They had to stop. They had to face reality, and they had to do an about face and walk back to Jerusalem. See, sometimes you have to take a few steps backwards to regroup. But boy, it takes humility. Think of how they must have felt. Joseph, go ask Aunt Mabel. Go ask Cousin Sam. Go ask Fred. I know they didn't have the... But, and he's saying, no way, I'm not going to go ask him. Are you kidding me? You go ask him. Why? Because it was disgraceful. It's embarrassing. I lost my son. Oh, wow, what a great father you are. What a man you are. I lost my boy. Have you seen him? Boy, that took some humility, though. Now, you don't have to tell me. You don't have to come tell me, but you do need to be honest with God. You do need to be honest with God before you disgrace yourself like this in public. And you do need to do whatever, you do need to make the effort to go find him.
Amen.
Where did it fall? Where did you lose him? What day was it when you gave up and you got discouraged and you said, well, I don't really need to pray that much. I really don't need to read my Bible that much. I don't think I need to do it every day. I don't think I need to read that much of the Bible. I mean, just a few verses. Maybe just a little devotional booklet. And yeah, a little quick. No. Wait a minute. This is Jesus. Not a little devotional booklet about what somebody makes you feel good. Listen, get in the Word of God. That's Jesus. Amen. Not a book about the Bible. Get in the Bible.
Amen.
And the minute you start saying, well, I think I'll just, you know, I don't have to do it. You're drifting away. You're drifting away. Go back to that place and think, what caused me to drift away? And I guarantee you, you're going to find out it was your own sin.
Yep. That's right. Come on.
And just like we talked about tonight in that classroom, you've got to confess it to God. When they started asking people, where's Jesus? You know what they were doing? They were confessing, I'm an idiot. I lost my own son. They're confessing. Now, you don't have to do it to people, but I'm just making the application. You've got to admit, hey, I have done something very foolish. And then you're going to have to make the effort, go back to find him. Spend more time. Their journey just got longer. Their days just got longer. Their money, just do whatever it takes, but do what it takes to go find Jesus where you left him.
Amen. Amen.
By the way, they left him.
Right.
They left him. They went back, they found, and I want you to notice, they were trying, but look, it came to pass in verse 46 that after 3 more days, They just didn't. After 3 days, they found them in the what? The house of God, the temple. Now understand something. If I was his parents, I don't know, I think I really believe this, that's the first place I would go. I mean, he's Jesus.
Amen.
But you see how distant they were? I mean, he was just another boy to them. Another son. Because why didn't they rush to the temple the first time, as soon as they got back there? 3 days later, Brother Chris, they finally got, oh, did you check the temple? Well, no, why didn't I think of that? Duh! Go to the temple. He's Jesus. That's his Father's house. Listen. The tendency is when I get further away from Jesus, when I get discouraged, when I get down and things aren't going right, the tendency is to lay out of church. And I don't look for Jesus where he's going to be found, in the house of his Father. No, but our flesh is so foolish that we think, okay, well, I just don't feel like going to church now. Well, in that case, that's the time you need to run to the church house.
Yeah.
Because you are drifting very, very distant, far away from the Lord.
Yeah.
But boy, when you show up in the house of God, don't wait 3 days. Don't wait till the next service, amen. Look for him where you know you're going to find him. Where anybody in their right mind, if I'm going to find the Lord Jesus, yes, I'm going to go right to his house, his Father's house, the temple. And they took three, I don't understand, I just don't understand. 12 years really did some damage to these two young people, didn't it? 12 months can do it too, though. Struggling, things have happened. Life has hurt, hearts have broken, burdens have gotten overwhelming, loss of jobs, loss of health, loss of family members, loved ones. Boy, and then you look back and you think, man, where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? Don't be too proud to admit it. Well, the Lord, the Lord has already dealt with me in my personal life, and I don't have to tell you, I'm not going to tell you, amen, but he's dealt with me in my personal life about things that I need to get back to doing like I used to.
Amen. Amen, brother.
And you know, I'm thankful that God didn't just let me keep going.
Yeah. Amen.
I got to finish here sometime. But think about this. They're traveling. They've gone a full day away from Jerusalem, Brother Josh. They've gone a full day's journey.
Mm-hmm.
What made them stop and think, where's Jesus? That was God.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you see God's grace in that story? That was God's grace saying, hey, dummy.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is not there. Oh yeah, have you seen Jesus? Now God doesn't talk to you dummy, like, but sometimes you feel like a dummy, don't you?
Amen.
You're going the wrong direction. That's what he told him. You're going the wrong direction. Every step is taking you further away. Boy, don't you see God's grace?
Amen.
If it wasn't for God's grace, how many days would they have gone?
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, help us. God, help us tonight as we look into the new year. Don't forget about drawing near to God. I would venture to say, just because I think I know human nature and I can myself, that there's at least one or two of you in here that have gone further away since January. It's time to stop.
Yeah. Amen.
Stop.
Yeah. Amen.
Turn around and seek him.
Amen.
Seek Jesus.
Amen.
Get back to where you need to be. And the way you're going to know it is, again, the fire of God's going to be burning your heart. The Bible's going to be exciting to you again. The Word of God's going to be real church is going to be something that you look forward to. You know, you've been there before, okay? I'm not talking to new Christians tonight. You've been there before where it's exciting, it's a thrill. I love the Bible, I love Jesus, I love to pray, I love to witness, I love to hear the preaching. I long for it. But listen, but yet you also know what it feels like to grow cold. It's time to stop. Stop. Quit walking in the wrong direction. Stop before you embarrass yourself and turn around. And tonight, on your knees, tomorrow, on your knees, in the morning, cry out, "Oh Lord God, cause me to hear thy loving kindness, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way and wherein I should walk. That cause me to know, Lord God, I need to hear from you. I'm following you." That draw closer to God again. Don't let this New Year's just pick up another theme and forget it. No. If it can happen to Joseph and Mary, I still don't know how it did. But I guarantee you it can happen to us. And I would be willing to say it has. It has. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we need you tonight. We want to stop.